Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, sorry to interrupt your favorite podcast, but I'm here to tell you about Shrimp and Crits, an actual play podcast with a southern twist. My name is Ian, and I am the keeper for this show as we play Monster of the Week by Michael Sands. If you like the sound of swampy monster mayhem, gators gone shopping, and magical fairy mischief, you will be right at home in the remote panhandle town of Gullicochica, Florida, where spooky danger has begun to wash ashore. Shrimp and Crits is the story of Sarah Payne the Mundane.
All I'm asking for is answers. That's all I'm looking for, is the truth.
Ari Green the Searcher.
You know the proclamations of the Fae. I suggest you follow them from now on.
And Ray Ray, the most mundane monstrous you will ever meet.
Mr. Zeus, I'm a big fan. I knew you were real. And Ray Ray's just like bowing in front of this swan.
As they fumble their way through protecting their skeptical town from mysterious evils. We release new episodes every other Monday on the podcatcher of your choice. Hope to see you soon in sunny Gullicochica.
This podcast involves topics such as violence, sex, and mental illness. If this might disturb you or those around you, please reconsider. It's okay. Privacy and confidentiality have been protected, with personal information removed when possible. If you ever feel unsafe or suicidal, please call your local crisis center, emergency services, or national hotline. In the U.S., the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 988 or 800-273-8255. You matter.
Hey, this is Kate. It's been a hot minute because I decided let's do COVID for the third time this year. And, you know, that wasn't enough. Let's also add the flu. So it's been a fun week, but I'm back. I'm here. I'm better. So cool. I had the opportunity to talk to my friend Jason. He's been on the show once before. He's got a podcast called Memester of the Week, and he's also a musician and possibly a magician. I don't know. I kind of assume everybody is. He's part of a charity that's being organized by a group called Live from the Apocalypse, and they're running Twitch streams and tabletop role-playing game one-shots, which we talk about in the show. So if you don't know what that is, just give it a second. The charity that they're supporting is called the IRC, the International Rescue Committee, and the point is, look, everybody's struggling right now, but there are still ways to help. And if you can't open your wallet, because some of us can't, I get that. That's totally fine. Showing up and being part of the audience and cheering somebody on, sometimes that's enough. You know, so just, I don't know. There are ways. Are you sure you really want to know? This is Ignorance Was Bliss.
Hi, I'm Jason Myers. I am the keeper for Memester of the Week. And this month I'm going to be running Monster of the Week, the game that we play on my show. I'm going to be running that for live from the apocalypse. Yeah, live from the apocalypse for a charity stream benefiting the International Rescue Committee.
Being a keeper sounds very possessive.
Yeah, it's the term that they use in the book. But at the same time, like, I can understand. I think the full title is the Keeper of Monsters, Mysteries, and Lore, which also, for me at least, I feel like makes sense because I do have a, like, I have a longstanding document of here is what has happened in this world. Here is what is hinted at in this world. And I genuinely have an ongoing list that is added to whenever one of my players opens their mouth that is just like, okay, this is a thing that exists now. Maybe I can tie this back in. There's some real good ones on there. I think one of them was St. Louis is a hell gout. Like the St. Louis Arch is a hell mouth, which would be like a gate to hell.
I'd believe it, honestly.
I'm here
you
for
know
it.
What I mean? St. Louis, like no shade to St. Louis, but a little bit of shade to St. Louis, you know what I
no,
mean?
They know what they're about. I have a lot of friends in St. Louis, and I almost moved there after college. They know what's up.
This is entirely fair. And so, being a keeper, being possessive of the game for the charity, to be clear to people, it's what's called a one shot. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. This will not be like an ongoing thing inside of any like established universe. It's just going to be basically sitting down an episode, like watching an episode of Supernatural and being like, oh, this is not connected to anything else.
Okay. So that makes it for listeners who are like, I would not ever want to listen to an actual play, a bunch of people sitting around playing a tabletop role playing game. Because why would anyone want to do that? The answer is start with a one shot.
Yeah, absolutely. Start with a one shot. Start with something that, I mean, even before that, start with something that is interesting to you. So what do you like? Do you like Westerns? Well, what media do you consume? Do you like Westerns? Do you like horror? Do you like fantasy stuff? Are you a Lord of the Rings person? Lord of the Rings people probably like D&D. It's a lot of high fantasy stuff and it's wildly inspired by it. Do you like Supernatural? Do you like Paranormal Activity? Do you like any sort of, did you enjoy Scooby-Doo as a child but you wish it was slightly grittier? Monster of the Week is definitely the thing for you. So like there's definitely a, if it exists, there's somebody out there who probably made a game system based on that concept because they were like, hey, this is really cool and I'd like to play it. Let's do that now.
And so yours is Monster of the Week and a one shot. Can you give any teasers as to the single episode world that you're creating?
Yeah. So what is happening is we're going to find ourselves in this snowy little town of Clifton, Minnesota, and it is midwinter and they are having their ice sculpture festival. And something's come in on the breeze and things are not necessarily turning out the way that they want. There've been some accidents at the festival today. And somebody's walking around with a really strange hat.
You're wearing a strange hat. What the hell? Okay. Let's, for onlookers who can't see this because it's an audio medium. Jason and I were paired up in a gift swap and Jason is wearing either a hat or a mimic, which, okay, tell people what a mimic is.
An item that is, it looks like an item. It's actually a creature that will bite you and probably feast on your flesh.
That is what he's wearing right now. Yeah. is a hat from Salem.
It's an adorable gray beanie with a little face on it, little black eyes, little red stitched lip mouth. I love it. It's very comfortable because Japan, we don't have insulation. They don't do that here. So it is like 45 outside, therefore it is like 39 inside.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
And so it is very, very warm.
Jason, also working on the Japan Tourism Committee, says we don't do insulation here. Come here in the winter. Yeah, I know.
It's beautiful in a lot of parts of Japan in the winter, for sure. But it's cold.
Also cold. I don't like cold. And I'm sitting in Salem, Massachusetts, and I'm touching the external door.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like cold, but here we are. So fine, fair. So okay. How do people watch your live stream? How will people watch your live stream? And how will people contribute to the charity?
Yeah. So come hang out with us on the Live from the Apocalypse Twitch channel on December 17th. We're going to be starting at 7:30, I believe. And from there, you will be able to like find a link to be able to donate through their means to this charity.
7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Well, regardless, we'll make it up for now and check the show notes.
Checking their calendar. Yes. Yes.
Yes.
7:30 EST.
I don't care about their calendar. Just check the show notes of this episode. There'll be links to all.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of good things in the show notes anyway.
Yeah.
Put a little snowman down there.
And you'll be on camera for that.
Yes.
That's one of the, like, is your memester of the week, your regular podcast. That is not, is that on camera?
No, I play on camera with my players to just be able to communicate a little better, kind of check in and let everybody know, like, okay, this is what's going on and all of that, having those like nonverbal cues sometimes. But we don't like send that video out into the world. We're just a strictly audio medium. So this will be the first time running a game on camera for other people to actually see. So that'll be an interesting experience. And I hadn't really thought about that until now. And I'm like,
You're welcome. if by interesting you mean terrifying, then yes, I've done several different charity events, not game related necessarily, although I have done game shows for a charity event for the live stream for The Cure, which is a cancer thing. My friend Jacob and I did a series of true crime related, but not laughing at the victims style game shows, fill in the blanks and trivia and shit like that. And I hate it so much. Like I love taking part in the charity and I want to help with that, but the whole being on camera thing is so weird to me because I like podcasters. Like, I approximately how many episodes do you have out?
37, 39, something.
Oh
like
my
that.
God, 37, 37. Try not to suck any dick on your way through the parking lot. I sure hope that this is allowed to say that on whatever, they'll cope. Because clerks, man, callback. But yeah, no, my show, I record on camera because I'm deaf, and so I read lips, and it's also just easier to communicate, but then I immediately delete
the video portion.
In the video, and nobody watches me in the moment other than the person I'm recording with, and then I do these charity streams, and people are watching me, and they're commenting, and they're not commenting about, like, my appearance or anything like that, but it's still like, oh God, I have to look here. I have to look here. Like, okay, again, like, it's a visual gag, but go with me on this, that my camera's 6 or 8 inches higher than the person's face in the appearance. My camera's over my monitor. The person's face is on my monitor. So normally it doesn't really matter if I'm looking down at your face. No problem. Yeah. It's right there. Nobody's ever going to know. But then on a charity stream, or if I'm a guest on somebody's podcast, although I don't care about that as much because I care more about if my performance helps raise money for a charity, that's important. If my performance brings you more downloads, that's nice.
Yeah.
but less important. And so for the charity things, I'm very conscious of like staring up here at the camera the whole time, which means A, I can't hear anybody, and B, that's, I mean, 446 episodes as of today, that's not my what's the word I'm looking for? It, you know, habit, hobby. I don't know the right, you know what, there's a word for it and my mm-hmm. brain just went blank. But like, I've done this enough times now that I have a certain way that I do things. And the way that I do things is not staring up here. It's staring at the person's face. And then I go on for a charity stream and I immediately get up in my head and it's awkward. So good luck with that.
Well, I mean, I can just practice now and make direct eye contact.
Which is forever. Awkward, right? It doesn't it feel weird? Like it feels,
yeah, it feels awful. And I hope by some means of magic that I'm able to communicate how terrible that feels through an audio only medium.
I think we just did. But yeah, it's comparable to me to if I'm out in public places. I mean, period, frankly, like I just don't like being out in public. But also if I'm out in public and someone stands too close.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, this isn't pre-COVID times. Like now I can just be like, can you back off because of the whole, you know, COVID thing. But before COVID, it was like, okay, this is just weird.
Yeah,
like,
this is, you're just like, inside my bubble, but I can't.
I'm breathing your, you're breathing my air. Yeah. I'm breathing your air. I don't I like it.
Make you go away in a socially acceptable manner. But now it's a little more acceptable to just be like, hey, man, back off.
Yeah, I'll cough on them. Yes.
Goodbye. And just fake a quick on them and call it good.
You know, and that's to me, that's the equivalent when I'm recording on camera versus not. Plus, you know, I have to think about what I'm wearing. And I have to remember to make sure that my screen is flipped around and not like, you know, to make sure that I look on camera the way I look to normal people instead of the way I look on camera, the way I look in a selfie, things like that. There's a lot of weird shit. I'm overwhelming you. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. I mean, like also it is one of those things that like comes down to, I mean, we could get into what is like socially acceptable for women versus men, because men are very much allowed to look like fucking whatever slobs in any circumstance, but women are very much held to a standard that is highly unrealistic, and that's not fair. But that's basically the whole of that that argument, and we've summarized it here.
It's true. I mean, it is a thing too. The whole, you know, do you wear lipstick or not? And chances are, I assume, and this is a leap, but I assume you don't often wear lipstick.
No, my lips are chapped as hell right now.
No, I mean actual lipstick, like the red, bright red.
No, I know. Bright red. I did participate in my buddy Ethan in college was a theater major. And so they had to do a makeup class. And so I did volunteer for the makeup class when I was in college, and he did put me in lipstick and rouge and eyeliner. And I could not get the eyeliner off for like days at a time because I had no idea how to do it.
This is fair. And now I'd really greatly take it as a personal, a personal preference if you would do that for your, if not the first charity live stream, because that might be a little bit too much, but one of the times.
Oh yeah, I'm fine with it. It'll be chill.
I'm sure because you know I make a point of wearing lipstick myself whenever I'm know that I'm going to be on camera, because I assume that at least one listener is hard of hearing.
Oh, you know, that's a wonderful point, because that would naturally just make it a little easier to see and be able to read lips, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just just makes a little bit of a difference. And, you know, if people are wearing masks, which please continue to wear masks, everyone, please, please, please. But when you're wearing a mask, I am fully deaf. I cannot understand a single word. When people are not wearing a mask, I can kind of mostly understand them. But if they're not wearing mask and they are wearing lipstick, then they can stand a fair distance away from me and I can follow what they're saying. So, you know, there's an upside to that. You just decided to make all of your players wear lipstick. I can see the idea form. It's a concept. You know,
it's a concept. Well, I might suggest, because I saw recently, I watched the Twitch streams for Reckless Attack, which is a D&D podcast. They also stream Pokemon, which I'm a huge, huge Pokemon fan. And so I'm pretty active in that chat. But recently, Nathan, the person who runs that show, implemented a like live text crawler that will interpret what he's saying and then just give captions immediately. And I had never seen that in a Twitch chat before, but I was like, wow, that's really cool. that's great. I have no idea how complicated that is to set up, but that is just like something that allows for accessibility just in case. And that's wonderful.
Well, and that's the thing, is that then those of us who need it don't have to ask. And so, okay, I have to be careful because I don't want to shout anybody out on mic. I do want to shout them out on mic, but I'm not gonna. But there's a person who was doing a thing that was going to be on Twitch. And my comment was, and this is a person on Discord specifically, and that only matters because of a subsequent point that they commented on Discord, here's the thing that I'm going to be doing, and I'm really excited. And my comment was, I wish you nothing but the best. I really wish I could be there for it, but this was 2 years ago, maybe. And at that time, Twitch didn't have any usable captioning. Even at that time, YouTube's captioning was really bad, and YouTube was kind of the industry standard at the time. And so I was like, I literally
won't understand what's going on.
Like, I just can't do it. And it frustrates me and it upsets me. And ultimately what it means is I'm going to hate everything you did. And I feel like that's not what you want. Like, maybe I'm wrong. This person immediately blocked me on Discord. But so the reason it matters on Discord is that if you block somebody, I can still see the things you post. It just shows me so-and-so, you know, whoever posted this thing has blocked you, and then you have to click on it, and then you can see what it is that they said. And I was like, this is really weird. Why did you block me? And you can't DM them. You can't write them directly. But I'm also connected with them on a different social media platform. And so I sent them a direct message on a different social media platform, and being like, hey, what the hell, bud?
Yeah.
And the response I got was, well, I was really excited about doing this thing, and your comment made me less excited. It took some of the shine off of this thing that I was really excited to do. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry that my daily existence makes your single day's experience unhappy. Fuck off. And, now I have a reputation, according to that person, as being a bitch, and I'm okay with this. Fully 100% okay with it.
Yeah. Regardless of whether or not it's justified, hey, live that. Yeah. Well, we all need to be a bitch a little bit more.
A little bit more.
In life.
I really think.
Because truly, like, people will want you to be like kind and obedient and just generally giving, but then they will give absolutely fucking nothing back to you for that. And I'm not saying that everyone is like that, but I'm saying that the world at large is like that quite a bit. And sometimes you just need to sit down and say, hey, this is what I fucking want, and you're going to give it to me. I've recently been watching Stranger Things for the first time. Season one, like the first episode, second episode, the mom of the kid who has gone missing goes into her job and says, like, hey, I need these things, my kid is missing, I'm also not going to be here for a little while. And the manager kind of gives her a little bit of shit, like, hey, I have to pay the other guy for covering. And she says, hey, my kid's fucking missing, I need a telephone, I need some printer paper or some shit, and I need a pack of smokes right fucking now. And I'm like, we genuinely need to have that attitude a little bit more in our lives, because I think more good shit would get done if that was the attitude.
Well, what I can say about the denouement of this Discord intervention is that, like I said, for one, is that I've developed a certain reputation, and that's fine. Cool with that. Number two is that there was a degree of, pretty sure they thought it was kidding. It was two people who were joking about, wouldn't it be funny if one of us created a transcript of this thing that was going on Twitch that's completely wrong? Wouldn't that be hilarious? And I was like, no.
No, actually, no, that wouldn't be all that great.
Not funny. No, don't like it. Don't like it at all. And so the one person remained in the Discord server. The other one left. Altogether left. And I also tracked that person down on a different social media platform to be like, hey, notice you're not here anymore. And this one was male identifying, said, well, I try really hard to be nice, and your response made me look not nice. And I was like, oh, okay, so fuck off. And that was the last conversation we ever had. So, you know, it accomplished a couple of things at once, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, genuinely, it sounds like it just cleaned house, because it got a person who was like, your response made me look not nice. Means, hey, fucker, maybe you weren't being nice. Because if someone else's response can do that, the action that you were having is still the same. So maybe have an ounce of self-reflection.
Just take a second.
Just a little bit.
Just take a second. Yeah, so that was fun. That was super fun. And by super fun, I mean, their feelings got hurt, and 2 years later, I still think it's funny. So, super fun, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway. You're not a... In other words, I was going to go back, though. 37. Which, again, back to Clerks. Trying not to suck any dick in your way through the parking lot, but you're not
I'll try my best.
Good luck with that. You're not a poddler anymore.
It's a difficulty. I'm not a poddler anymore.
You're reaching full adulthood. Like, I'm an elder by this.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but you're reaching like full adulthood. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, we just wrapped up our first season, and that was an experience. This year was a wild year for trying to do Memester of the Week, because we just could not land a consistent recording schedule by any means. And so what it resulted in was taking basically 8 months off of uploading anything. And then we started putting out the current mystery, the current arc, in late September, and then it just wrapped up. And now we're going to record a like Q&A episode to finish out the year and then get started on season two. But yeah, that has been a whole process and experience of just like learning curves of figuring out like, okay, how do we want to kind of approach this? How do we, what is the story that we're telling? What are the things that we care about in this world? And what are the things that we kind of care about these characters? And just kind of feeling those ideas out as we go has been really interesting and really fun. And it makes me thoroughly excited to get started with doing season two, because the first arc of season two has been recorded already, and boy howdy, it was a ton of fun to actually get into the meat of that.
And so before we hit record, you talked about, you did a thing that you now are not fully thrilled about, but it has, it's helpful, I think, for new podcasters, for poddlers to think about, because I've had people ask me, like, how do I start a podcast? And my answer often is, don't.
That's a valid
Like, not because
a very valid thing to say.
It's just one of those, like, it's so much more work than you think it is. So do it if you're really into it. But otherwise, take a nap.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and like, I think that's part of where like the break came from, because it was just like, well, we're not recording often enough to justify editing all of these things. And that would take a lot of time. So I'm going to go play Persona 5 instead. I'm going to go do other things, which ended up being really enriching, because the things that you take in and the things that you engage with and the things that you love, those shape the way that you think about the world that you live in, but also those shape the way that you put creative things out into the world. And you mentioned this being like an oddity when we were talking about my Spotify Wrapped on Twitter, and I said, yeah, it's very obvious by my Spotify Wrapped that I only listen to music and engage with music a whole lot, even though I love it, when I'm actually writing music, because all of my Spotify Wrapped is like Jeff Buckley and the Mountain Goats and people that like I genuinely want to sound like and emulate those sounds, because I'm like, oh, okay, I'm taking in the piece that I like, and I'm taking in the things and the ideas and expanding kind of what this noise in my head sounds like. So maybe someday I could recreate that concept and iterate on it in my own way. And it's the same thing with writing and creating and making a podcast. Bringing this all back around to the initial thing of, I put out the first 8 episodes of Memester, the very first arc of Memester, in one solid batch. And here's why I think that was not necessarily a great idea. I was approaching it from the idea of like, oh, well, nobody's putting out a bunch of episodes at once in like a Netflix subscription kind of style. Like Netflix drops full seasons of things all at once generally, and then leaves it, and then you'll get the next season eventually. And I thought that might be an interesting approach to it. Here's why it's not. While it is very bingeable, it doesn't give you any time to breathe with the work that you're actually working with. And when you're creating a piece of fiction, sometimes that's very helpful. Also, as a person who is learning and figuring out how to edit things, especially if you've never really done it before, you're learning a new program as you're going, you're going to want that time to just kind of take a couple runs at things, because the vast difference in quality between like episode 1 of Memester, in which I was recording on a laptop microphone because I wasn't even thinking about, at that point, I wasn't even thinking about making it a podcast. I was literally recording it for having GM notes to go off of later. And then the most recent episode, which I have like sat down and I took 2 weeks to write musical pieces for, to be able to like toss in there and add some flavor to. It is a wide berth of a learning curve. And you kind of want your time to sit with the thing that you're making. At the same time, I wouldn't necessarily take it back and do it again. But another great thing about, and literally any podcast will probably tell you this, having a couple episodes done and ready that you're sitting on, that's great, especially if you're on a bi-weekly release schedule or something like that. Because, okay, you send one out into the ether, you promote it on the social medias, but you're not actively worrying about like full breakneck sprinting to finish the next episode, because the next episode's coming out in 2 weeks and that has to be done now. And so it gives you a little bit of room to breathe, a little bit of room to relax your shoulders. And that's the sweet spot for a lot of people, because you're not white knuckle gripping to be able to get the thing done in the deadline that you have set for yourself. And that, like, having a deadline is great because it forces you to actually do the thing. At the same time, having too stringent of a deadline will prevent you from having the time and the luxury to think about the things that you could add to what you're doing to make it better. So like for me specifically, like I really loved working on the last episode of Memester that we put out, the season finale, because I finished it, finished the like general edit probably a month or two in advance. And so then I just had time to kind of think about like, okay, I want to implement these ideas. I want to implement these musical cues because I'm a music person. And I want to work towards making this more of a fully sound design show, because that's also just the background that I come from, because I did sound design for live theater in college and things like that. And so that's kind of where my big strength, I feel like, lies, is being able to think about, oh, okay, this would sound like this. How do we get that in an audio medium? And so, yeah, being able to just sit down and have time to think about what I'm doing and play music and say, okay, this is good, but it doesn't fit the tone of what is happening right here. So maybe I'm going to not bin that, not throw it away, but save that and put it back on the shelf and reuse it later. Oh, this thing that I used 10 episodes ago still works and still works here really well in this moment. Let's use this. And being able to have that time to kind of process that is invaluable. And so having that like birth of space where you're in like a comfortable zone and you're not just clutching at the bit to get things done, I think is a perfect spot to be in.
So I got two pieces of advice. When I, you know, before I started my show, I spent a lot of time asking podcasts, you know, podcasters of shows that I liked, what do I do?
An incredibly smart way to approach making a podcast, and also something I wish I had done.
You know, and when I say a lot of time, I probably all of a month, but that for me, I am not a patient individual. So, yeah. You know, but one of the pieces of advice I got I got a lot of pieces of advice. These are the two that I ignored. One being set deadlines, a bi-weekly schedule, weekly schedule, a release day, whatever it is, set a time release. And I was like, okay, I will try and do that thing. And I kind of did. Until episode 7. Now let's rewind. I just recently released episode 446. So this is way in the way back. Episode 7 was my first, it wasn't my first collaboration, but it was the first time where it was important to the other podcaster that, like, we recorded one thing for my show and one thing for their show. And it was important to them that we release both of them at the same time. And they were like, we release Wednesday at midnight. And it was like, okay, then I'll release Wednesday at midnight. Now, all of my prior collaborations had just been recorded on my computer. And so I had all of my, you know, the four prior collaborations that I had by that point, whatever numbers, but I had done them all myself. No big. This is the first time where I had three people. So three tracks that I'm trying to align and edit and that kind of thing.
Yeah, a much more complicated editing process than
conversation. Yeah, not thanks. Yeah, no, but I didn't. I figured it out pretty quickly, but not until after it had been recorded and I had promised them a release date. And I pushed and I pushed and I pushed and I pushed and I got the damn thing released and I wasn't feeling well. And regular listeners know that I record in my basement, which is two floors away from my bedroom. And so I hit publish and it was like Wednesday midnight on the dot. And I staggered upstairs and I shook my husband awake, who is a teacher. And so he gets up at a stupid early hour. And so I try really hard not to wake him normally. But I shake him awake and he's like, what? And I said, I'm about to have a seizure because I have epilepsy. And he's like, you're going to what? And I had a seizure because I have epilepsy. And so that's when I realized, like, perhaps I've stressed myself out more than I should. And so that's when I was like, I'm never going to promise a solid time and date. Like, I'll write it down and I will try. But it's within a day or two. It's not Wednesday at midnight because I super hate being in the hospital and also having a seizure. If you haven't had one, first of all, don't. But it hurts. Like, you have muscles where you had no idea you had muscles, and a seizure is all of your muscles contracting at the same time. And so, like, your fingertips hurt. Like, everything hurts for days. And I couldn't speak because I bit my tongue and all of these things. And so I was like, okay, not going to do that anymore. So I don't do that anymore. I release when I can, and I don't release when I don't. But the thing is, it's a full-on addiction by this point. And so 5 years in, if you doing the math, that means my average is about 2 a week, give or take. Like, it's...
Which is an insane.
Absolutely insane. Like, clinically insane.
Of work.
But the other thing, and I'm going to say a thing that's potentially upsetting. It upset me, and I ignored it, and I don't regret that I ignored it. But I was given this advice from a lot of people. Like, a lot of people said, take, you know, record 10 episodes and then throw them out.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, if by interesting you mean fuck no, then yeah, that's where I landed. I was like, what are you gonna, but you know, and part of it is because what I do is of the moment.
Yeah. Well, and it like, okay.
And so I felt like I would lose, because I've had to re-record a couple of episodes because of, you know, technological, you know, technical difficulties, whatever. But listeners may or may not know, but I can hear that this is not the conversation we had the first time around. And It doesn't feel quite right. But also just, you know, there are just things where it's like, oh man, you said the thing such a perfect way the first time, and I didn't catch it the second time, or I didn't say the right thing the second time, or I didn't respond in a genuine way the second time, or whatever. And so, absolutely not. But the idea of, because the advice was not just like record 10 and throw it out. It was like record and edit and prepare them and then throw it out. And I was like, no.
Why would I do that much work? This is an interesting conundrum. From the perspective of like running a talk show, running a show where like the baseline is like I'm having a conversation with another person, the learning curve like there is less steep, let's say, than necessarily like doing like multi-track audio, doing background music, like creating a like large scale fiction show, which I would not say that I'm making by any means. But I do see, so I wouldn't suggest taking that advice for someone who's making a talk show or making a show that is basically like a genuine conversation between two people that someone is listening in on. I think that the value of that, and I think the value of like how your show is presented, is that it does feel so genuine, and it does feel like a conversation that you're sitting in on with friends, and you're just not happening not to be able to speak to it at the time. And I think that that's a valuable thing. And I think that that should be preserved. On the other end of the spectrum, I think especially for creating fiction, and I think especially for creating actual play stuff, I think that that can be very valuable, because it trains you a little bit more of like, okay, how am I going to do this? And also teaches you how much work this is actually going to be. And so you'll figure, like, by the time that you're done with episode 10, you're going to figure out real fucking fast, like, hey, do I want to keep doing this? Because also you're doing this inside of the vacuum of not having any outside influence. You're not having any feedback from it. So you're just sitting with the work that you're creating and saying, okay, do I like doing this? Do I like the work that I'm doing? Am I enjoying this? Rather than, oh, number big, make me feel good, therefore I'm going to keep doing it, which is how inevitably like people end up making things. And I'm not saying that that's wrong by any means, but I am saying that that can be a toxic motivator, and following just that will lead you to being dissatisfied with the thing that you're making. Because if you're not happy with the thing that you're making in the first place, eventually you're going to realize that, and then you're going to just be frustrated and say like, oh, well, why am I making this in the first place? But I know of a few different podcasts that have started from the, not necessarily that method, but like the entire cast knew each other very well. And thankfully, for the most part, at least for like Phil and Amelia and I, Phil was my roommate in college and Amelia is my wife. And we all three went to college together and we know each other incredibly well. So we have like a really solid dynamic. And then Sarah was a very good friend that we had met. And then Tyler was Sarah's friend, but then also our friend. And he was kind of the newest person to this group. And so it was kind of a learning curve as we were building it up. But even then, like we still had some genuine chemistry because we kind of knew how to play off of each other from just years of knowing each other. And then like the learning curve of like learning this new person was very much less so. And so I would say that like if a person is trying to create something that's like long form, and especially long form fiction, where you're working with a lot of different people, yeah, take some time and get to know the people that you're working with. And also like, don't put the pressure on like, okay, well, we got to do these 10 episodes so we can actually get to making the thing. Cause like, that's going to feel like a waste of time for everyone. Instead, just like do a trial run and see like if you even like it. Ultimately, the best shows that I've heard are from groups of people who have played together for a very long time and know each other very well. And then they said, what if we started a podcast? What if we put this out into the world for other people to enjoy, because we are having such a great time with it? And that is the place of like, hey, I love what we're doing. And I think that we're really fun. I think that this is a great thing. Maybe other people would also enjoy this too. And I think that that's the place that especially every like actual play show should kind of be generated from. You can kind of finagle it a little bit with getting to know other people from other shows, which has kind of been a thing. I am now like really good friends with a keeper from another show because I enjoy their work. They enjoy my work. And so then we started kind of collaborating together and we're just like two teenagers bouncing a ball off the wall at each other constantly, which is great. But I do think that that is a valuable like piece of information, but I think that also you kind of have to, with any piece of advice, you have to kind of parse it to see if it's even specifically useful to you. And unfortunately, some of those things only come from doing it. So some knowledge only comes from having the experience in the first place and then looking back and saying, oh, fuck, I could have done that differently, huh?
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
An ounce of self-awareness. An ounce. That's all we're asking for. Do you have it? There are days I don't. Like, legit, there are days that I don't have any insight and I make bad decisions and I'm impulsive and I don't like it, but it is what it is. But I try. You know, and if I spend a day screwing up and saying stupid things or thoughtless things, whatever, I try to do better the next day. It's a marathon, not a sprint, you know, and so I think that's a thing that I wanted to just point out is that it's, you're like, we're all allowed to screw it up. That's fine. That's human. But the next day, maybe you could get up and make it better. So, Jason, thank you so much for coming to play. I really appreciate it. He will be on the Live from the Apocalypse Twitch stream on December 17th, 2022 at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time in the US. So you can do the math about what the time zone is where you are. But, you know, stop in. Even if you're not a gamer, even if you're not into things, stop in, listen. You know, I was not a gamer or interested at all when I started podcasting, but it didn't take me all that long to learn that there are layers to this, and sometimes it's not about the game, it's about the people, and that's pretty amazing. So check the show notes for links to that. Thank you guys for listening. I hope that you're all doing well and staying healthy, because let me tell you, COVID plus the flu equals so much sleep for me anyway. I mean, I guess I'm lucky that I was able to sleep a lot of it off, because when I was awake, I was not a happy camper, shall we say? So whatever, I'm getting back on my feet. I'm doing better. I'm recording again, and I'll be back soon. I talked to a really interesting woman, Joni Johnston, very recently, and I was going to release her episode a couple of days ago, but COVID and flu. So she'll be up next, and we'll go from there. I've talked to some of the best people lately. You guys have no idea. I'm so excited. Like, I literally don't know which episodes to release after that. So many cool people, and I missed publishing and editing and all of that. So soon, be back soon. In the meantime, take care of you. We've had some real losses in the world just lately. I'm not going to name names, because frankly, it doesn't matter. I mean, it matters who they are and who they were, but more to the point, wear your goddamn mask. Like, I know the government doesn't tell you to, but go ahead and do it anyway, because people are sick and literally dying still now. And I don't know how many people need to get sick and die before you're like, oh, changing laws doesn't change viruses? Wild. So that's a thing. Also, while it's kind of an urban myth, I guess, that there are more suicides around the holidays, because there are actually statistically more suicides in springtime, there are still suicides around the holidays. And there have been a couple of pretty high profile ones lately. And so really just, I don't know how to say it strongly enough that I get it. I've been there, and I've also survived loss. And the only answer is that you matter. You matter so much. And if you feel like you don't, contact me and I'll argue with you until you believe me, because you do. And suicide is, it's a death by natural cause, but with such different ripple effects. So please, please, please be gentle with yourself. If you need to reach out, I'm still on Twitter until it actually burns down, at IWB Podcast. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Discord. Discord is my favorite right now. I'm on Post at IWB Podcast. IWB Podcast at gmail.com. Like, I'm around. And God, like, seriously, you matter.